This is the second part of a special series exploring how the governmental regeneration program New Deal for Communities affected Ben-Gvir and its residents. The second part looks into various projects which have been funded by the program. Here is John Vincent, Methodist minister and member of the Ben-Gvir New Deal for Communities Partnership Board.
Well, at the beginning, there was quite a survey being done of the needs of the area, and we were asking people what they saw as being necessary and desirable for the area, and we got an enormous number of requests and ideas affecting things like the physical environment and the safety of being here. Affecting the situation of unemployment, affecting the general feeling within the area of neglect and of non-fulfillment. And so therefore we tried to discover ways in which we could develop major policies in these areas that could deal with some of these issues. And we discussed, and then we appointed people who would be managers for these particular theme areas who carried out projects that we agreed on.
Do you think that what people expected has been implemented?
I think in many cases, yes. You see, if you take a thing like the fact that the streets were in a very bad condition, there was rubbish everywhere, so we have helped to provide a service within the area of which is much more green and much more ecological, and the public spaces were in disarray. So we have been able to help finance green city action stuff and stuff in the parks. And so on. So that there's a general feeling, I think, that the physical environment has been improved. And certainly the streets are clean, and there's a general feeling not of being run down, but of being quite a decent place to live. And that's important because it's about the perception of people who live here and the perception of people who come into the area from outside. So that we've had quite a number of programs relating to open spaces and parks and the cemetery, which is in the middle of our area.
What about the other needs?
Well, there was a great concern about people's safety, so that we have been able to increase the number of community police people. And we have had a group of people who've been on the streets as local community care people. And that has been a tremendous advantage. And those are people who are now well respected within the area. We have also done stuff in relationship to the issue of unemployment. We have had a major thing in terms of the development of unemployment. In which we would target particular groups of people and simply over quite a long period, over a 9-month period, help them to discover skills and to work with things and get experience of work. And that was a very, very important part of what we were able to fund. And we now have a thing called Ben-Gvir Opportunities and a creative enterprise taking place, apprenticeships for all, and projects in relationship to supporting advice for people in terms of employment and the gaining of skills. We've also tried to do something in the area of education and children and young people, and we have provided or helped to provide in local schools people who would act as community officers and who would relate the schools to the parents and to the local community.
This was John Vincent, and here is Rashida Hassan Ali.
I actually was employed by Ben-Gvir New Deal from 2003 until 2007 as part of its Advancing Together education project, which was a flagship project for New Deal in partnership with the City Council. And one aspect of that project was to employ education coordinators in the primary and secondary schools that serve this community. And I was employed full-time to work in two of the primary schools in this area, St. Catherine's Catholic Primary School and Firshill Community Primary School. And my remit, my job description was to bring those two school communities together to create access and opportunity for adults in those communities to become better educated, to raise their standard of basic skills, and to be able to support their children better with their education, to have an understanding of how children learn, and to support family learning, and to bring the two communities together in terms of social cohesion.
How did it work?
Well, my job was really to work with statutory partners. So I worked with the Workers Education Association, with the Sheffield College, with Lifelong Learning and Skills Unit, which has a family learning unit, and they are part of the Sheffield City Council. I worked with those agencies and with other people like Sheffield Museums and Galleries, Sheffield Theatres, independent projects, other Burngreave New Deal projects like the Burngreave Community Learning Campaign and Burngreave Opportunities and Burngreave Advocacy Now, a number of projects that were either created by Burngreave New Deal or were in partnership with local authority projects and activities. And I use those partnerships to pull in funding to create opportunities for parents during the day, mainly because the nature of our communities means that people have, a lot of the women in the community, for example, have caring responsibilities after school, and a lot of the men in the community were in service industry jobs locally, driving taxis, working in restaurants, security, and so on. And so people were generally more available during the daytime. So I developed, and my colleagues in the other schools working together, we developed a really strong program and culture of adult learning in and around the Burngreave area.
Hi, I'm Fran Belbin and I'm on the management committee of the Burngreave Messenger.
What is the Messenger doing for the neighbourhood?
Well, it's a community newspaper that's delivered free to over 8,000 households, so just about every household in Burngreave and Firvale gets it. And it's carrying local news, it's about celebrating the successes that go on in the area and raising the issues that people in the area are concerned about. And we're trying to get the community involved in writing the stories, in taking the photographs. It's supposed to be a community newspaper in all respects, really, that the community produce it, as well as reflecting and writing about what's happening in the area. We've been funded by New Deal in the past for the last 10 years. But this final year, the funding ran out. We were expecting to receive funding from New Deal this year, but we're not receiving it now, which, although we've been quite successful in raising other money from other sources, from charities and so on, has still left a hole in our funding for this year. So it's going to be quite difficult to get through the year. And we're having to get out there and raise a lot more money that we weren't expecting to have to do.
This was Fran Belbain. And here is Bronwyn McCarthy.
Burngreave Advocacy Now is a project which is offering a community advocacy service to residents of Burngreave. We have a mixture of paid and volunteer advocates who are helping people with social welfare issues. It could be to do with problems with utilities, bills, housing problems, finding employment, dealing with immigration forms, helping people to apply for benefits. Anything like that, really. And usually our clients are people who are struggling with day-to-day things because English is not their first language. And so most of our advocates are offering a service in different community languages.
Are the people who come here of a certain age group? Or
it's a wide variety of people. Anybody is allowed to come here for any reason, so we can pretty much either help people with anything or refer them to an organisation that's more appropriate to help them with a problem if we can't. And we work quite closely with Citizens Advice Bureau, and we refer a lot of our clients to them, and they equally refer their clients back to us. So we're dealing with similar issues to them, but they're dealing with cases that become more in-depth. And they've been affected quite badly by the Burn Group New Deal money collapsing as well. They've lost several members of staff as a result of that.
How many people use your services daily?
So we keep our statistics on a quarterly basis, and we average about 400 client contacts, we call them, with different times that we've seen a client over a quarter, about 400.
So a quarter, you mean it's 3 months?
3 months? 3 months, yeah, 3 monthly, about 400 people seen. And like I say, most of our clients are people who need to have the service in different language. So we have 3 part-time paid advocates. Each one speaks a different language. And then we have about 10 volunteers who each give usually a day a week to see clients. And lots of them speak different languages. And lots of them are refugees and asylum seekers themselves. So it's useful for them getting skills that they will be able to use in the workplace, hopefully, one day.
Do you know what was originally planned for after 2011, when the money would...
Yeah, well, we understood that we had another year's worth of funding, and we always knew that the money was going to run out at the end of March 2010. So we were planning on working towards an exit strategy by that point, and we were expecting to have to find alternative funds by then. But because the announcement was sprung on us, we were in a position where we haven't been able to make any plans. And we were in a fortunate position that we had some match funding from other places, so that's why we still exist now. But it means that we are unlikely to be able to continue for another year if we don't find alternative funding.
What kind of organizations do you get funding from?
So the money that we've got at the moment comes partly from the big lottery and partly from a charitable trust called the Tudor Trust. Mm-hmm. And so our hope is that we might be able to attract some more of that kind of funding, but there's a lot of competition for a small amount of money.
Do you think that this kind of services should be provided by the council in the first place?
Absolutely, yes. And the council do fund quite a lot of work done by the Citizens Advice Bureau, and we complement that work. So I would say that there would be room for funding within the council. We're certainly targeting the BME community, offering them a service which isn't being offered by anyone else. The Citizens Advice Bureau is already working to capacity and can't possibly take on all the clients that we see. And so, yes, I would really welcome secure funding from the council, certainly.
My name's Gareth Roberts, and I'm one of the organisers of today's Abbeyfield Festival.
Is it the first time you are involved with the festival?
Yeah, this year is the first time that, first time in about 3 or 4 years that members of the community have been involved in sort of directly organising the event. And this year has been the first time I've been involved.
So previously it was organised by a company?
Yeah, previously it was organised by an organisation called Green City Action. And they don't organise the festival anymore, mainly because the New Deal for Burn Grieve money has ceased to be available. So it's back to the grassroots community organisation of Abbeyfield Festival.
Did it start like this?
As far as I'm aware, yeah, it started off as being a very much a sort of community grassroots event, and gradually it got sort of bigger and bigger. And when the Burn Grieve money was around, that's when the budget for the event was sort of significantly increased. But when that money wasn't available, obviously it wasn't very sustainable. So this year it's been quite a challenge to organise the event with the money that's been available locally. But I think we've managed to successfully do that.
My name's Diana Tuttle, and I work with a project called Sage Green Fingers. Our main activities are running a mental health project on Grimesthorpe allotments. We've got 3 allotments there and access to another 2 allotments. And we run gardening activities for people who are experiencing all sorts of mental health problems. Might be simply feeling a bit anxious or depressed or not getting out enough, right through to people who've got more serious problems. And we run activities there 4 days a week, and people get an awful lot out of it. They turn up, have a cup of tea, have a look around the allotments, we find out what jobs need to be done. And then people get out there and might be a bit of weeding, might be picking the strawberries, might be harvesting whatever vegetables got around. And then the session usually finishes around lunchtime, and we try to make a soup or salad from whatever we've produced, and then sit down as a group and enjoy the produce.
Are you running your activities with paid staff or volunteers?
It's a mixture of paid staff and volunteers, and we're very, very keen to take on more volunteers, because the more volunteers we have, then the more activities we can run. And the volunteers that come, we've got quite a few already who get a lot out of it. And some have been coming to us for years because they really enjoy the activities. Others have actually found the experience has led them on to paid work in the area. So a couple have actually gone into taking up jobs in either the area of horticulture or also into mental health, sort of like career.
Where did you get your funding from?
Well, saying we used to get a lot of money from Burngreave New Deal. So in the past we've had, it was 5.5 years worth of New Deal funding. But as you probably have heard, sort of like the New Deal funds stopped very early, prematurely. And we lost £30,000 through that. We were expecting to get £30 from them for this year. So that's hit us really badly. And we really are, at the moment, we're still looking for funds to be able to continue to the end of this year. And I'm really keen sort of like to find something to keep us forward, getting forward in the longer term as well. Yeah, I'm just thinking, we have succeeded in getting some money from a trust called Tudor Trust. And Lloyd's TSB have also given us some money. So that's what's enabling us to survive at the moment.
This was Diana Tuttle, and here is John Vincent.
We have also worked with various organisations to develop work with young people. We have a very active now Burngreave Young People's organisation that's taking place. We then tried to work at the issue of community strength and well-being. And I was the chair of the development group, strategy group as we called it, that was particularly concerned with this. And we were just developing a scheme to help building up all the existing and previous voluntary organisations in the area when we discovered that we had been the amount of money that we had overspent in previous years, in fact, counted out of our 52 million. So we ended up with no money at all for the last 2 years.
This was John Vincent speaking to Irini Apostolidou. You have listened to the second part of a special series exploring how the governmental regeneration program New Deal for Communities affected Burngreave and its residents. The next part looks into the financial structure of the program and tries to find out what went wrong. For any comments, please email us at communitieslive@sheffieldlive.org.